like to talk about four kinds of crowns. As far as I can find, maybe you'd like to circle. But we have a crown of rejoicing. To me, the word joy right here, number two, is the same as rejoicing. We have a crown of rejoicing, we have a crown of righteousness, we have a crown of life, and a crown of glory and honor. These four particular crowns, at least I know that we have four. Betty was telling me that in our Sunday school choir a really long time ago, there were seven. And as we were looking at some Old Testament scriptures, we found some other crowns. But at least in the New Testament scriptures, we found at least four crowns. And these four crowns are going to be given to us, and one of them, or maybe a couple of them, are going to get even before the coming of Christ, before the coming of the King. But at least they're all in the realm of physical things. They're in the realm of physical blessings. Now, most of us are thinking, since God is a spirit, what's he care about the physical? Come on, how many have heard that? Since God is a spirit, what's he care about the physical? After all, I was born to die. One of these days I'll die, I'll go up to heaven, then I'll be a spirit, and everything will be all right, you see. But that's not God's total plan. God has a plan not only to be God of the spirit world, but to be God of the physical world as well. And eventually, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Even in the natural realm, God is going to be boss in all realms, spirit, soul, and body. So, in this realm, we're beginning to see that even though the church has not taught us to look for physical blessings, along toward the end, at the time of the coming of the King, we're going to expect physical blessings. We're going to expect not only healing for the body, but how about divine health? So that you don't need healing in the first place. How about just staying well? What seems best to you, healing or divine health? Well, naturally, I'd prefer divine health, but I tell you, if I got sick, I'd look for healing. Because either way, I'd like it. By his stripes, we are already, past tense, healed. Well, I began to read that scripture, and then I noticed I still had the limp. By his stripes, we're already healed, and you still go along feeling bad. Come on.
Yeah.
What is this? Well, in the Spirit, by the Spirit, my spirit is already healed. But sometimes it takes walking my body to catch up with my spirit. Have you noticed that about yourself? Sometimes you can stand up, the inner man can stand up, but it takes a little while for the outer man to catch up. So somebody comes by faith but is healed. Hallelujah, he says, I'm healed. He still limps. Have you been around charismatics who did that? I'm healed, praise the Lord, and he still sniffs. He's speaking by faith about his. The body's still trying to catch up. I was talking to my mother-in-law about this once. I don't know how it is with your mother-in-law, but my mother-in-law was a Pentecostal, and she was always claiming healing, and sometimes she'd claim healing and she'd be hardly out of bed. She was so bad off, and you know, I remember one time she was sneezing and coughing and carrying on, blowing her nose. She said, praise the Lord, I'm healed. I said, oh, why you talk like that? She said, praise the Lord, I'm healed. Achoo! I said, that's not right for you to talk like that, and I really got at her about that. Next day she was praising the Lord because she was healed, and I was the one going, achoo! You see, she was believing in her heart first because that's where she was healed first. She began to stand up on the inside, the outside caught up, and I was the one who was doing her down, you know, because the outside wasn't caught up. I was looking at the outer man, but Paul said, from now on, I'll see no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we can see some things in the realm of the Spirit. Now, in this realm of the Spirit, I'm not afraid for anybody's heart. There's every person here, your spirit is all right. Every person here. Now, that might settle a few things right away. I'm really not going to try to get you to the altar to give your heart to Jesus. I'm not concerned about that. I believe that Jesus got your heart. You wouldn't be here, and besides, crazy to waste your time here if you didn't. See, Jesus got your heart, it's your head. It's your head, the thing, that's what I'm working on because you're a dumb head. Isn't that awful to come here and have a preacher and Bible teacher call you things like that? Come on, tell the truth. Everybody here's a dumb head, raise your hand. Lord, forgive the others, then raise their hands because I'm not. We've all got some changing to do in our minds. Then after we get those seven attitude changes in our minds, then he can trust us with the glory of the Father and the physical body. When the glory of the Father hits this physical body, then I'll be a manifested Son of God. Hallelujah. Can't you see it now? Manifested Son of God. Here I am. Manifested in the physical body. See the see the light? See the glory? All of me? Woo! Just a minute. see that glory, that manifestation of the Father, physical body. Why, the first thing I would do when I got to be the manifested Son of God, I'd get me a throne, put on a great big diadem, wouldn't you? Oh, how all those jewels and all this kind of stuff. That's because I've still got, you know, there's still some things wrong up here. So, he didn't manifest me yet. One of these days, after I go through all the changes, then I can stand the manifestation of the physical body. Now here I am, a manifested Son of God, with the mind I've got. Well, I hope not. First thing I'd do, you know, if I was a manifested Son of God, I'd get in my throne and I'd sit there for a while and I'd look over my kingdom. Then I'd remember all those preachers that disagreed with me, so I'd throw lightning bolts. Come on now, you would too. If it wasn't, you know, be somebody that you really, you know, now that you're in charge and all that, you'd do it again, wouldn't you? So that's why you don't have your throne yet. Can you understand what I'm saying? We're expecting the manifestation of the sons of God, but the manifestation of the sons of God is not going to be to people who've got minds like we've got. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be finished with our souls before the manifestation of the physical body. Then when God manifests us for the glory of the Father in the physical body, we'll have the right minds, and we won't send for 40 bolts of lightning to get rid of those guys, because we'll be lovers, not fighters. By then we'll be lovers. I'm going to say it again, the kingdom goes to lovers. The lovers win, the fighters always lose. There's no song goes like that, I think. Roy Rogers sings it. Fighters always lose, the lovers always win. So now we're getting a better idea of what I'm talking about spirit somebody. Now, for the body salvation, it has to do with the Stephanos. And the Stephanos crown is for us at the third major step. And when I talk about three salvations, I was talking about this down in Washington, and some guy came, popped up, he'd been in my classes for about six in a row, and he said, what? He said, and the first time it hit him, you're talking about three separate salvations. I've been in the class about six times. And he said, you're talking about three separate salvations. Good Baptist. And he knew all about the first salvation. He said, you're talking about other salvations. Where's my book? The Third Salvation, the Green Book. Have you seen it? That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about three separate, definite experiences. Three separate experiences. First, when Jesus comes in the heart. Second, when the Holy Ghost comes in the head. Third, when the glory of the Father comes in the physical body. And that's what our Green Book is all about. Now, at the time of the third salvation, we're talking about when we get the Stephanos for the... Now, do you wear a crown on your spirit, soul, body? Body. That's what it's talking about. And it's talking about the third salvation, the step of the third time when we get this because of our overcoming. Now, when I got to the point of overcoming, I was telling my wife Betty about this subject, about overcoming, now we're going to get our crown because we get to win the race. And she just a minute, she says, I'm tired. She said, if I have to win the race to get my crown, forget it. She said, there's not one competitive ounce in me. She said, you're the competitor. You're the one competitor. You're the one that's always, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. As far as I'm concerned, I just want to coast along if Jesus isn't going to get, you know, win the race for me. She says, forget it. I'm tired already. If I have to race and race and race and do all these great things and do a Billy Graham and do, you know, win all these souls and spend hours in prayer and all, forget it. Come on, how many have thought that too? Tell the truth now, yeah. If I've got to be an overcomer, even in Corinthians, it talks about the fact that all in the race, you're only one. Wins the race. Well, if everybody's in the race, only one's going to win. Only one gets the crown. Wow, yeah, forget it. Not much chance for me. And so she was broken this kind of concept, and she was right, of course. There was a big thing there. In that realm, it was going to be my might. By my power, forget it, you know. I don't have any might. My power's already used up and all that kind of stuff. So, looks like it's all over for me. She says, you've ruined everything. She says, first thing you did, you took away my diadem. She was talking about the diadem, and I said, no, you're not going to get a diadem. She said, you ruined my diadem. Now you're telling me the only way I'm going to get stuff and else win the race. She says, she says, I wish you'd never started that lesson. Now, how many can kind of witness with the way she's feeling, see? So she was telling me about this. So I'd like to bring your attention now to the bottom of the chart. In Psalms chapter 19, verse 5, it starts to help us to understand how it is that we're in the race and still be so tired. Turn with me to Psalm 19:5. Who's got it? Psalm chapter 19, verse 5. While you're turning to it, let me show you something. I want you to look at my Bible just a minute, see if I can hold it in the light here. This particular Bible, I've taken, and every time it talks about a diadem or Stephanos, I've outlined those particular scriptures in this Bible. It's getting to the point now where I use the Bible per lesson, because the Bible I got here is so marked up that I can't really keep track of, you know, all my markings. So we're using the Bible per lesson. This one's on Stephanos. This one's on the Stephanos and the diadem, and every time that there's a reference to one of these crowns, I think I put the gold in the diadem because that sounds more goldish, and the green in the Stephanos because, you know, that's the wreath. That would help me remember and so forth as I went down my scriptures. Now, but the king is coming, and in the context of the king coming is the material blessing. And in the realm of the material blessing, we just read in Psalms... No, we didn't read. Somebody was going to read it to me. Who's got it? 19:5. Go ahead.
Which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race.
It's talking about the sun, as you read right now, and the sun coming out of the east, going to the west, and he comes out as a bridegroom out of his chamber, or as a strong man who's going forth to win the race. I want you to get the picture. A strong man who's very strong and knows he's going to win the race, or the bridegroom who's going to get his prize. And they're both coming out, oh boy, this is what I want. And they're coming out with great strength, great, because they've made the preparation, and there's a prize, and they know that they're going to get a prize. Well, the prize, this man is going to run the race, a strong man, he's got great strength, and he knows he's prepared, he's got all his things together, and he's going to run the race. Well, if that's the case, you know, then the race is going to be the strong guys. Now, how about us guys that are still tired? How about us guys that are not prepared? Read me the next scripture, and that's in Ecclesiastes 9:11, and that'll be the start of the thing. And I think that Ecclesiastes 9:11 might be the main scripture of this lesson. I'm not sure about that. But Ecclesiastes 9:11, I'll read it because I got the microphone now and I found it. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. I'll say that again. Well, here I thought it was the fast guy that won the race, didn't you? Huh? Didn't you expect the fast guy? But it says the race is not to the swift, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Let me stop and talk about some of these things for a minute. I'll tell you, when I read that verse, that's one verse that really just doesn't seem fair. Seems like the fastest guy in the race would get the prize. Seems like the smartest guy would get the most bread, or the guy with wisdom would get nice things. But how many in natural life already know that it's not the smart guy who ends up owning the store in town? Come on now. Well, he said something about favor. Favor to men of what he said, men of skill. Here's a guy. He's been, when he made his sculpture, made his paintings, died a pauper, malnutrition. Next generation sells his painting for $100,000. Have you heard of it? I mean, not so. Because favor doesn't come with a man of skill. Did you know that you can make a manuscript and get 12 rejection slips? I'm poking right now over here in a few places on some of my friends because I have 13 rejection slips on my book, Key to Revelation. No. Revelation makes sense. The big thick book, Revelation makes sense. The big thick book, Revelation makes sense, is not commercial. The only way to sell is people who listen to me. After you've heard my lectures for a while, you want the book. But it's not a commercial book, and so even though there was a lot of skill, a lot of time, and it's a really, really excellent book, still, no favor, no honor, nothing. Where's me? How many of you already noticed that about your own accomplishments? You really get in there and push away, but it doesn't come. It doesn't come because you're brilliant, doesn't come because you worked hard, doesn't come because you stayed up late, doesn't come because you learned both ends of the tunnel. The answer is, in the next phrase here, that time and chance happeneth to them all. It is time and chance. Now someone said, I don't understand all that. Well, look at it this way. It was time and chance that brought you here. It was time and chance that got every good thing you ever got. Come on now. So it was not really just a minute. I don't understand that. How about all the preparation? How about all the good things that I prepared for? Let me ask you a question, Lord. Did you get that good job because of all your preparation?
No.
I don't think so. I think there's time and chance, don't you? There was an opening the day that you were available. At least you were out looking and that kind of thing. Isn't that right? And time and chance worked that out. But would you also agree that he had to do a lot of preparation in the way of learning lots of time and put a lot of hours in before he got that good job? Well, then there has to be a balance in this thing. Because the truth is, to those who are least in the race, you never got that job you weren't racing for, is that right? But you get it not because you're necessarily the best guy. No offense, but tell the truth. The blessing, the sales that you... Come on, salesman. When you made that sale, did you make it because you were doing a real good job that day? Because it's time and chance that happened to them all. And there's a balance here. I was trying to think about buying out one day, and my pastor over in the heart gave a story like this. He said, this is the best way I can figure it out. It's like the boy that was out hoeing in the garden, and he was working away in his little garden along the side of the house. And the pastor came by and said, son, that's a beautiful garden God has given to you. And the boy stopped hoeing, leaned on the handle, said, well, Rector, this is a beautiful garden God gave to me. But Parson, you should have seen his weed patch when he had it all to himself. Maybe that makes sense a little bit here. Well, you see, it's a hand-in-hand operation, isn't it? But things go hand in hand. You see, it takes preparation, yes. But it was just preparation that would have won the third salvation, then surely Madam Bryan or one of the other great saints of the church would have achieved this immortality years ago. Did you understand what I just said? Surely, even your grandma or one of your godly parents would have achieved, but they didn't. Why? Time and chance. It wasn't the time, and it was by chance that they were born into that generation. How about you? We believe this is the time. We believe that we're so close to the end of the sixth inning and taste it. And we believe that the timeliness is working toward our advantage now, this generation. And by the way, did you choose to be born in this generation? Would you give a chance? So it might be that time and chance are working in your favor. Whereas time and chance may not have worked toward the favor of certain of the other saints that have come and gone toward this third major change in the physical body realm, where they've received material blessings, because time and chance has happened to us all. So in that realm, I'd like for you to praise God for the blessings that you're receiving right now. So I said, what blessings are you talking about, Eva? Well, let me tell you something. If you you'd start thinking of your father or grandfather and relate to that man and every one of his fathers and grandfathers, back to Grandpa Adam. Did you know we all got the same grandpa? Grandpa Adam. And if you relate to all those guys, well, let's say it another way. I don't see any men here in this group, but usually when I teach, there are men start out with a horse and buggy, and then on a jet 747 flying at the speed of sound within their own lifetime. And if you put all the changes of the lifetimes of all their fathers together, people that are alive today have had to go through more changes than the total of all the people put together before them. Think of that. We've got people alive who've had to go through changes. Changes in the way they dress, what they eat, the way they transport themselves, even in their ethics, morals, all kinds of principles are changing. Can you understand what I'm saying? This generation is a blessed generation. This generation is blessed above all the generations put together. This generation has had handed to us, to it, us, on a, can I say silver platter, the tremendous blessing that God has brought us in the material realm. Come on now. So quit finding fault with God and start praising God, because time and chance has happened to you. And time and chance could have brought you here 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and life would have been a lot harder. Can you imagine what it would have been like to come from Lewistown? Is it Lewistown? Town. To Mechanicsburg, for a Bible study. How would it have been to come in a full day's work in Bang Swing and come over to Mechanicsburg for a Bible study?
Yeah. Okay.
For your grandpa. Mm-hmm. If you'd have told your grandma that you're going down to Mechanicsburg for a Bible study tonight and you'd be back at 12 a few years ago, what would she have said about you? No, fetched in my head. Why? Can't do it. Never make it. It's impossible. That's an all-day thing. You have to go down there, get yourself a hotel, wherever that night. It'll be at least 3 days before you get back. These people started out at, 6 o'clock. Got any time for noon, they'll be home. No, really. Same night. It's a pretty great time to be alive, isn't it? Now, if you also think of this, you know that the Bible actually talks about a generation of people that prophets and angels desire to look into. Come on, Bible students, shake your head so the others will know I'm telling the truth. The Bible talks about a generation of people that prophets and angels want to look into, and I'm submitting to analysis, you're the guy. The prophets, prophesying by the Spirit that is within them, the things that are going to come upon this generation, just desire to be a part of this group. But time and chance has been working in your favor. Are you finding this now? It is time and chance that got you here, not your own brilliance. Nobody offended? Not because you're smart, not because you work hard, but time and chance that got you most of the blessings that you're achieving and receiving right now. Give it to me in 1 Corinthians 9:24, please. He's won 9:25, give me 9:24. He's got it. Can you see it? Okay. Maybe you know about this one.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain.
Everybody's in this race. Everybody's been running this race. There's only one. When it says one, I'm thinking right now of one generation instead of one person. You follow that logic? You remember what it said in Matthew 24? this generation. There's one generation that's going to win this race. Well, they're all in. They're all want. They're all want to win the race. Now, give me the next verse, 25.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
They're headed for an incorruptible crown. And there's one generation is going to win this crown. And we're going to strive, we're going to use all the techniques that we have to win the crown. But we don't have any new techniques. You think that you're better than your grandpa? Well, you're obviously not. You think you're more spiritual than grandma? Well, if the prize is not to the swift, if the battle is not to the strong, you know what that does? It ruins all my theology. I thought I was going to win because of the number of chapters I've memorized. Number of hours in prayer. Come on now, you did that kind of thing. Have you prayed your, you know, half hour? Have you read your Bible today? How about the other one? Do you know that the prize isn't going to come for tithing? Or double tithe or triple tithe? Now, does it sound like I'm knocking these things down? No, they're good. Bible study, you know, prayer, tithing, all these kind of good things. Is not, the prize is not going to come because that you gave to Goodwill? All those things are nice, they're important, meeting the needs of others, but that's not the way the prize comes. Here I've been working so hard to get the prize. And I want the prize. I've got to have the prize. I'm too close to it. But it's time and chance. Did you hear me? Time and chance that happens to us all. And that's the way the prize is going to come. Well, how can I get it? Hebrews 12:1 gives the only thing I can find in the Bible that tells me exactly how to get this prize. I want this stuffiness crown, I want the golden crown, I want the incorruptible crown because I want to have the kingdom so that when Jesus Christ comes, I can take the kingdom and give it back to Him. It's my goal. My goal in life is to be alive and remain in the coming of Christ. Now if I'm wrong and I die, then you tell me I was wrong and you're new again. If when you die, we don't meet, then write me a letter. You can get across the great gulf. Here's the thing in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. What is it that's going to win the race for us?
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Oh, yeah. I'm running the race. A race that's set before me. And I'm running with what?
Patience.
That really makes me tired. Run with patience, the race is. Because it's my patience, continuance and reveling, what's he saying, Romans 2:7, by patient continuance and reveling, seek glory and honor, and immortality, and you get eternal life. Isn't that right? So I have a word for you. Moses, I'll give you a prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. Patient continuance and well done. Patient continuance and well done.
This Bible teaching by David Ebel will continue on cassette number 2.